that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on me. Now, Wednesday night, we started talking about peace. And we noticed here in the scripture, it's the covenant of peace that will not be removed. And we found out that peace is way deeper than maybe what a lot of people have imagined. And we said that people misunderstand peace because they think it's the absence of war or the absence of conflict. Some people think it's emptying your mind into mindless tranquility. But peace is a tangible anointing. Yes, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It is, that makes it a force. It's a force. It's an anointing. Peace is a person. Peace is a protection. Peace is a position. And peace is power. Amen. Church, a great measurer of your character is how you handle loss. In your life, you will, and this is not a negative faith preacher talking here, in your life, you're going to have some loss. You have had some, and you will, because of the world we live in, because of choices that you've made or other people have made. The truth is that people die, people leave, people steal, people put up walls. Sometimes people lose money. Sometimes you lose money. Maybe you have. I'm not making that a confession over you. I'm just saying that it has happened. Maybe you paid too much for something, or the enemy attacked something and broke it, or whatever. Everyone has had a loss. Sometimes presidents get in and run the capital gains up, and that's a loss to you. Whatever the case may be, sometimes that happens. Sometimes you lose momentum, but how you handle that is crucial. Amen. See, you can't completely faith away loss. Even if you make all the right decisions, there's people around you. So we know that. But what we do is we overcome the pain of loss. And when we overcome the pain of loss, then we're going to overcome loss. It's actually going to happen. And peace is that thing that can actually help us with that. It's a major contributor to that. And let's go look at Philippians 4:6. I'm going to just say a few things I said to you Wednesday night, and then we're going to add some things here to it that I think will be helpful to you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious. Now, I'm just assuming that you know what anxious is.
Right.
You know, if you don't, you know what anxiety is, you know what worry is, you know what fretting is, you know when you're upset, that's anxious. Okay? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Now that's an interesting phrase right there. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what is peace that passes all understanding? That's a good question, isn't it? It's peace that wouldn't naturally be there. Mm-hmm. You don't even know why you're peaceful.
Yeah.
And then it's peace that can be there when you don't understand the situation at hand. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why this happened. I just don't get it. But it's there. So peace is important. And then there's another valuable aspect of peace, and that it is part of your decision making. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later on, but it is an important part. So I want to look at the word, Ronnie, if you'd get that for me. I want to put the word for peace in Hebrew once again up when Ronnie's going to put it up there for us. So there's the word shalom. Everybody knows the word shalom, right?
Yes.
Now, some people know it as a greeting, just like words do today. They get lost in modern language. So, could just be peace, man, to some people. The word awe has gotten lost You know, the word awesome used to mean I went to the Grand Canyon and I looked over the edge and it was awesome. And now it's like, man, that taco was awesome. So, you know, things change. But when you look at these words, the beautiful thing about studying the Word of God is you can read it in a translation, but then you go back and you find it in the Greek or the Hebrew. In this case, this is Hebrew. And Hebrew is exceptional because when you go back and look at the Hebrew word, you look in the Strong's Concordance, you'll find the meaning of it. But then when you look at the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, they call it the alphabet, each letter means something. Okay. So, I mean, you're looking at a whole family of things that happen. You can actually, could I just say, you can excavate down and, you know, so you can come in there and you can dig down into these letters and find out interesting things about the word. And so this word right here, shalom, is very powerful. So they read from right to left. Okay. We read from left to right. They read from right to left. And if you read from right to left, that one that looks like the W, see it?
Yeah.
That letter means to destroy. Okay? All right. The second letter there looks like a shepherd's staff. That means authority. The third letter there, that's an attaching letter. It looks like a nail. And then the fourth letter looks like a picture of crashing waves. And that letter is associated with chaos. Okay? So when you look at the definition of shalom by looking at these letters, it means to destroy the authority that is attached to chaos. Isn't that way better? To destroy the authority that is attached to chaos. So peace is not just quietness. On the contrary, peace is I'm driving you out. Can you see that? Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. I'll say it to you one more time for those of you taking notes. To destroy the authority that is attached to chaos. So when we speak peace over a situation, we're commanding the demonic authority to be destroyed, thus bringing an end to chaos. Peace destroys authority attached to chaos. Now in the armor of God, everybody knows the armor of God, right? We see the sandals of peace. These sandals of peace are the shoes of peace. And shoes move forward. So we said, in order to have peace, you live with the God of peace. You're going to move forward with the God of peace. These shoes, these sandals of peace were part of an armor and they weren't quietness.
No, that's right.
The Bible says over in Romans, it says that God will shortly put Satan under your feet. You remember that? And the word shortly doesn't mean pretty soon. It was the way those shoes would step. They would step in tacos. Yeah, beat them to a pulp. That's right. Danny was looking it up in a different version. So when those Roman soldiers were walking, those things were sticking in and grandma better not get in the way because everything's going down. So these shoes, it's powerful. Peace is powerful. It's powerful. It's not, oh, the sweet baby is just sleeping right now and the house is peaceful. Well, that's good, but something drove the chaos out.
Amen.
Whether it be mama feeding the baby or, you know, sleepy time, whatever it is. But so this word is so much more powerful than we've thought. Now we access peace by looking at Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So when the chaos comes and there's a situation, you're not praising God for the situation, but in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise. Instead of cussing right there. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, what are we going to do here, Lord? And then it says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God and the peace of God. So you set this thing up right and power of peace comes. Amen. Don't join in with the chaos. I knew it. I knew this wouldn't work. I knew it was going to fail. Whichever tone you use, the angry does that, and then the pouter does the other one, and so on and so on, you know. But those don't work. Side up with God. All right, well, look at this right here. What are we going to do about this? Lord, I love you. I rejoice in you. I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that I have you in the midst of this, and this thing is going down. And you begin to, you know, I just say shalom to this situation. I just say shalom. Shalom, shalom.
Yeah.
Nothing missing, nothing broken. Chaos out in Jesus' name. And you might even just say it in English. I rebuke the authority attached to chaos. Get out, go to your appointed place, never to return. Amen. This is helping somebody. Now, so I've caught you up. Now today, I'm going to read to you Matthew 5:9. It's really short. You'll catch it right away. So just write it down. You can look it up later or you can go quick. But here it is. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. A peacemaker, then, blessed is the peacemaker. So we could say a peacemaker is empowered to prosper. Am I right? Is it up there? Y'all looking at it? Okay. A peacemaker is an influencer. And listen to this. This is so important. A peacemaker is not a peacekeeper. A peacekeeper, you got to get this point. A peacekeeper will strive to keep peace, avoiding conflict. We call it around our house, we call it peace at any price. You're just going to back down, and we've all done it. I'm guilty, you're done. We've all backed down because we don't want to have to pay the price, and we don't want, you know, we'll avoid addressing this because, you know, so-and-so will get mad, and then they'll say something to someone else and poison someone else and da-da-da. And so you just want to avoid those things. But that's not what God called us to do.
Yep.
He didn't call us to be peacekeepers. He called us to be peacemakers. So we can all just repent right now about that, right?
Yes.
So a peacemaker, they will strive to create peace, even if it means disturbing false peace in an attempt to reconcile what is at odds. So to make it right, sometimes you have to get rid of what the false peace and go ahead and address the situation. Amen. You might do that in your own person. You might be going, well, I think I'm okay with it. Well, you know what, self, let's really look at this. But it was them. Now, let's really look at this, okay? So if you're going to have some real peace, you have to address some things. Now, Paul was a peacemaker. Peacemaking is not passive. Peacemakers work to bring conflict to an end, yes. But sometimes there's a little disturbing that goes on while you're getting there. Real peace will not avoid the conflict. It does something about it. Peacemakers confront injustice. And I'm really talking to the choir right there. Dr. King had to disturb peace in order to bring real peace. Did he?
Yeah.
He did. And so I can see how we should do some praying about peace keeping in this country and become peacemakers. In this country, we cannot avoid the conflict. Now, I have fellow pastors and friends who want to be peacekeepers, and that's their business. But here, I want us to be peacemakers.
Yes.
We will not avoid and stick our head in the sand concerning what goes on.
Right.
We need to know so that we can address it.
Yes.
And particularly pray it, prophesy it, declare it, and do what we can do physically, whatever we need to do. Amen.
Right.
According to the will of God. Praise the Lord. So, remember now, loving our enemies has nothing to do with agreeing with them. You don't have to agree. You have to go, oh yes, I think it's perfectly okay what you're doing. No, you don't have to agree with them. When you rise up in real love though, church, I'm talking about real love. You seek only to defeat the system. Did you notice what peace does? It tears down the authority behind the chaos. The people get in the chaos, but if you'll deal with the authority that's ruling that chaos, people will go free. And they may not even know you were praying it or doing it. And then sometimes it will be something you will have to confront physically also. But that would be real love. And there will always be individuals. Now, I'm not just talking about political things here, okay? I'm talking about in life, jobs, whatever. There's going to be individuals that get caught up in systems. And that's their choice. You love them, but you seek to defeat the system. Amen. Now, remember, peace is not stillness. Peace is a powerful weapon. I'm going to read you Luke 24:36. Luke 24:36 says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you." Okay? Now, he's not saying, hey, y'all, I'm back. Peace. These guys were afraid when he appeared. They thought they were seeing a ghost. Now think about that. They just spent 3 years with a man who is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. Yet here he resurrects and he told them he would. He said, they're going to kill me. I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life. They didn't kill him. He gave his life.
Right.
But I will arise. I will rise again. So he's showing up and they're just like afraid. And he says to them, peace be unto you. What's he doing? It's not a salutation here. He's stopping the authority of the chaos here, attached to the chaos. He's saying, quiet, peace, it's okay. He's using his authority with what's going on in the spirit world around him. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a greeting. So we've got to stop thinking of the fruits of the Spirit as just some little fruity thing that's just, you know, we like to eat a grape and so we have love, joy, and peace. These things are powerful. They're power tools.
Yeah.
They're not a hammer. They're the nail gun, if you will. There's power behind love, real love. And I'll just go ahead and take a little side trail here since I'm almost done and we got lots of time. When it comes to love, I heard Jeremy say this morning and it was so good. He says, if you start thinking, oh man, I need to love. I'm going to be better at it. I'm going to love. I'm going to get on this love walk. I'm really going to do this love good. I'm going to start on Monday. There's going to be more chaos around you than you've ever had before. More people are going to say something to you that tease you off. What we're looking for is to know how much he loves us. And when you seek how much he loves us and you meditate on how much he loves you, how much he loves you, then the love of God is going to be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And then you have a force of love coming out of you. I just felt it increase right there. It's coming from him. See, religious people try to work too hard. They're always trying to get the victory. We have the victory.
Right.
You use it. You use what God's already given you. You see that? So no straining. Yielding.
That's so good.
Just yield. The time where you confront is the time when you're using your authority in the spirit world. When it comes to God, you're going to just yield and say, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I would suggest to you, heavily suggest to you, that when you get in a situation, ask him for the words, even a word from the word. Now, you know that, but I wanted to remind you of that. So once again, I want to say this. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. What did it say? Pulverize it? Beat him to a pulp. Beat him to a pulp. That is so good. It's a powerful weapon. Crush. Now, look, I believe, and I hope you do too, that we need encounters with God. We need encounters with God. If you're going to be in the kingdom, if you're going to work in the kingdom, live in the kingdom, you need encounters. Whether it's a conviction of the Holy Spirit, whether it's an anointing that you're having an interesting time with, some kind of deliverance, healing, just having a good old time in the Holy Spirit where we're laughing and he's tickling you or whatever the encounter may be, or you just feel his presence so strong that you're like, wow. We need those encounters. You know, I get to have an encounter every time I preach the word of God. All pain leaves my body. I don't notice. If I came in feeling bad, I don't even notice it. Every single time when the anointing comes, it's praise God. And have you ever thought about it? When you get to praying, all the chaos leaves your body. So when you pray in tongues, something starts happening in your body. Amen. Do it a lot. So anyway, we need these encounters. What I want you to see is that peace can be an encounter. It's an encounter. So it's actually, now maybe you didn't think about this, it's a conduit for healing. Have you ever thought about this? Just about everybody in here has prayed for someone. Remember when you prayed for them and then you said, now, do you feel better? And they'll say, I just feel peace. I just feel peace. What is that? That's the power of peace removing the chaos, thus healing is coming. Peace is a conduit. It's a powerful conduit. Shalom. Things moving out. What does the anointing do? It removes burdens and destroys yokes. So peace is literally doing that. So, you know, we've laid hands on people and they'll do a jiggity jig and start doing whatever, or run the room or fall out on the floor, or depending on how the power hits that person. But most of the time, people will walk away going, oh, I'm peaceful. They'll start sliding their feet along. People say when I get to preaching, sometimes I start walking like Brother Hagin. That's a compliment because he is peaceful. Amen. Living in peace. Amen. So this peace is full of power. I want you to see it as power. And think about this. I was meditating on it, and don't have this in my notes, but I'll just give it to you for free. The Bible says God didn't give you a what? But of what? A power is listed in there. You can have power. Spirit, soul, and body. I've been praying for increased power. Why? Because people need us. People need us. We need the light and the life of the Zoe life of God just coming up through us all the time. Because people need us. Some of you work where you put your hands on people. But just a hand on the shoulder somewhere and a smile can remove a burden in people's lives. Yeah, church, people are coming to Jesus right now in droves. It would behoove you to go back and read John G. Lake again. The part where he talks about transmutation.
Yes.
Where he talks about how the spirit is like food energy. Mm-hmm. Food, you can eat food and it turns into energy. Yeah. Does it?
Amen.
And it does something in your body. Mm-hmm. Well, the spirit of God, he turns into light and life in you. And if you'll eat of that and release that, that's how John G. Lake did miracles. That's how he tried to get that across to people. And the scientists were, remember, he's the one with the plague in his hand. And it would just die in his hand. Because that much power was coming from his spirit into his body. We need to go back and look at that again this year. I read it every year. I believe this is my year to push more forward than I ever have in that.
Yes.
I believe that I'm going to understand it. I've been reading it for years. I'll go back and read it every year. But I'm telling you, I saw Katie Zuza on Kelly this week. She was preaching, and I just pointed to the TV. I went, that's John G. Lake right there. That's exactly what he taught. How the light and the life of the Zoe life of God on the inside of you can start coming out on the outside of you. And it'll do something on the inside of you even when you're helping somebody on the outside.
Amen.
That's my take. But you should watch that. It's good. She said a whole lot more than that. So they'll just feel peace. It'll just be good. See, listen, church, Jesus wants you to have life and life more abundant. He wants you to have it. Yes, he wants us helping people all the time. But if you have more abundant life, you've got something to give away. If you're just being stolen from all the time, that's not working. That's coming from that chaos. You're like, well, I thought chaos was just when kids were being loud. No. Think back to the beginning. It was void, without form. That's where the chaos was. Tohu vabohu. Everything was messed up until God said what? Light be. Let there be light. This is the same thing shalom, the word shalom, will do for you. Say, meditate on that.
Yes,
meditate on what it really does. Like, I just need a little peace in my life. I need to go fishing. Well, fishing is good. But I'll tell you this. Peace is going to come when you get, I'll just say it Texas style, shalomed.
Yeah. I'll take it. Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
Chase it out. Run it out. Church, one of these days, everybody's going to learn to open their mouth and not just sit there and take it or sit there and agree with the enemy. Going to say, no, you're not getting in here. Well, no, stop it.
Amen.
When Jesus fills you with peace, it's transferable.
Wow.
You can start transferring it to other people.
Romans
15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So a deposit of peace causes us to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm just telling you this. You can fill up with peace and give it away. That's what I'm saying to you. You can be peaceful. Well, I just love it when so-and-so comes around. They're just so peaceful. Well, maybe they're filling up with peace.
Yep.
Amen. Every impartation has an impact. Some of you I've prayed for week after week. We've prayed for, we've come up here and prayed for you and week after week. And sometimes you walk out of here saying, I guess I didn't get it. Or but keep coming. Because every impartation is getting you to a new level.
Amen.
Don't stop.
That's right.
And could I say this to you when you're on the other side of that? Don't stop praying for people just because you don't see five miracles in a row.
Right.
Keep doing what you need to do. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. You're going to find yourself in the middle of a lot of miracles pretty soon.
Yeah.
Don't give up on that.
That's right.
I'm praying about that daily for all of us.
Yeah.
because I know we're called to miracles.
Yes.
I mean, I'm practically bugging God about it.
Amen.
We need miracles. No, no, I can't. We need miracles. I want to work and get the miracles. Well, Paul said to seek the gifts.
Yeah.
Be interested in those gifts. So I am. Some of them I've been using for 30 years. I want to use some of those other ones.
Yeah.
Please, Lord, come on, Lord. No, I'm not just kidding. Or seek them. You don't have to beg for them. Although sometimes I slip up and go, come on, Jesus. It's not him. It's us. You always go back to that. You're slipping up if you're trying to beg. You just need to receive. Keep receiving. Keep filling and filling and filling and filling and filling and filling. And anything, any rock or stone or chaos that's in the way is going to get out. What's going to replace that? Peace, anointing, fruits of the Spirit, power. Don't preach myself happy. I briefly mentioned this to you, that peace is in our decision making. So let's go over to James 3:17. We're going to read 17 and 18. James 3:17. Praise the Lord. You know, and I know that while you're going there, James 3:17, you know, there, it's the shoes of peace, but it seems like here lately, peace has just been my shield. Something's going on, and I'll just go, boom, boom, nope, chaos, get out. No, I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that behavior. No, I'm not. You know, just love people and go on. Praise the Lord. No. Now, I don't mean that I'm just going to take everything. Praise the Lord. I won't go back over that. You know what I mean. Are you there?
Yeah.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, remember when we were just praying the other day, we were praying about this kind of stuff, and we started praying about wisdom. And then here God gave me this scripture. It's kind of neat. Then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, I love how James highlights the peace of God as wisdom that comes from above. This is wisdom coming from above. And it's this gentle willingness to yield that's full of mercy and good fruits. Yeah, can you pick that up in those scriptures? You study them a little bit. And you're going to get the wisdom that is from above. And it names it. It's peaceable. Wisdom is peaceable. Amen. So wisdom, if wisdom is peaceable, then wisdom also is driving out that authority that is attached to chaos. That's free. Praise the Lord. Okay, so, but I love how he says that. Then he says the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Sometimes we surrender to peace, and I'm going to say it. Sometimes we surrender to peace instead of what may look like gain in our decision making. Can you take it? You get what I'm saying? Sometimes you're like, oh man, This would be so prosperous. I should do this. I feel like I should do this. I need to get involved in this. But you don't have any peace. You just want to do it because of the reward. You just want to do it. Or you want to do it because someone is practically shaming you to do it. Or someone's putting pressure on you to do it. But you don't have any peace. Are y'all with me?
Yes,
you here? Yes. You don't have that peace about it. You're just doing it because of pressure. But sometimes it's better to pick the peace instead of the gain. If I could do it, I could take this job over here. It's going to take everything I've got. I won't ever get to be at church, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to be miserable. I'll be so busy all the time. Or how about just this? This thing's just gnawing at you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah, but it's an extra $100,000 a year. Don't do it. Don't do it. Go with peace. Go with peace.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything. Just don't go there. I've told you this story maybe 1,000 times, but one time we're going by a car and the salesman was giving the big speech and everything and pitch. So we said, okay, hold on just a minute. We got to pray about this. So we walked away and said, Lord, if you don't want us to get this car, we'll walk away. And he said, run! And we did. And the salesman's going, ha, ha. Thank God. Then on the other hand, we've had an Ishmael too. We went ahead and went with what we thought would be good.
Yep. And pressure.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Pressure. Preach it, girl. And then the car sat there because the kid didn't want to drive it because she found her favorite car. So, you know, go with peace.
Yeah.
Don't go with pressure. Well, this is the last time we're going to offer you this. This is the last time. Hello, your warranty has run out. Like, I didn't have one anyway. Or, if you don't do this, remember those college kids that, well, I don't know about up here. Where we live in a college town. And so they're knocking on the door all the time with their magazines or whatever, trying to make their way through college. Anybody remember those days? So you know, oh, they're just a kid. Need to help them. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just give them $20 and say, bless you, and go on. Or remember I'm going to say like the name of the vacuum cleaner was like Rainbow or something. Oh, everybody's saying Kirby. We'll take that one. And they come to your house and they'll throw stuff on your floor and you're like, ah. And then they vacuum it up and show you how good it is. It'll only be on sale today though. Got to do it today. Usher them to the door and say, not today, because you're just being pressured. Now when you want something and you know how I shop, I look at something and I walk away from it. And then if I think about it in the next couple of days, I'll go back and get it. That's just how I do things. It's too easy to go, oh, I gotta have that. I know I'm talking about shopping, but you can put that anywhere. You can do that on anything. Gotta have it, gotta have it now. I think that's a commercial. But sometimes we tend to surrender to peace and we need to be surrendering to peace instead of gain. And there'll be times when you'll be peaceful about the gain. But you need to know the difference. Philippians 4:6 again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Find out. Ask him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we can govern life's decisions by peace. Now, one more thing as we close here. What about fear? Fear is not the opposite of faith. It's the reciprocal of faith, meaning it's at the other pole. It's at the other end. It operates just like faith does, but it's the dark. It's faith in what the enemy can do. You fear something, it's faith in what the enemy can do. And so fear is not in you. It's not, if you're a born again Christian, it's not in you. You have a fountain of faith, but fear will come and you can feel the influence of it. You'll literally feel something because fear comes with demonic influence. And if you feared the same thing or had a phobia for a long time, your brain will just go there. Can't, right? But fear doesn't belong to us. Speak to the chaos, because that's what fear is. It's chaos. Not going to make it, not going to make it, not going to make it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Speak to it. Shalom. Shalom, finances. Shalom, body. Shalom, children. Shalom, job. Shalom. Shalom when you lay down in your bed. Go to sleep. Jesus will take care. Go to sleep.
Amen.
Rest. This is Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Princes have authority. Do they? Jesus is a ruler, and you are his ambassador. Therefore, you have authority. So we can shift any circumstance, any situation, from a realm of chaos and disorder to an arena of peace. You remember, I'm always telling you, you can change an atmosphere in 8 seconds. Use your words. Bring peace. Bring peace. Thank you for it, Lord. Learn not to escalate. You know what I mean about that? Just okay, peace to this. We're gonna work it through. We'll work it through. We'll see how to do it. The Lord will show us how to do it. We'll get it. All right, we'll resolve this. It's okay. Don't get mad at me. We'll resolve this. Let's just be cool about this. Well, You know why people yell at each other? Anybody know? They want to be heard. They want to get through to the other person, so they start yelling. It's just a reaction. But you don't have to do that. You say, let's just talk about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You received this today? All right. We're going to shift those circumstances. We're going to live in peace. We're going to use peace, and we're not going to be peacekeepers. We're going to be peacemakers and address the situation. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you'll put down your pens, close your Bibles, and bow your heads, I'm going to say something and get rid of all the chaos right now. Father, give you a minute. In the name of Jesus and by his authority, which he's given to me, I rebuke every spirit of fear and torment, and I command it to leave you now and go to the place assigned for it, never to return again. I break the hook that the enemy uses to bring you back into moments of trauma. And Father, I ask you to heal the memory associated with that trauma, and all that's associated, all the associated effects become null and void right now. I come against restlessness and night terrors, and I break their power in the name of Jesus. I speak the peace of God, shalom, over those situations in your life. And from now on, you will know peace through the night and through the day. Peace to you in Jesus' name. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Thank you for it, Lord. Just tell the Lord, if you agree with that, say thank you. As your pastor, I have the authority to take care of that in your life. And if I'm not your pastor, you're listening online, I'm not your pastor, I might just be your prophet or just the preacher for the day, but we took care of it in Jesus' name. Yeah.